squeeze through here.
Please be seated.
Isn't this great? But we'll talk about more about this later. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witnesses. Now that's religion. I don't know if it's better to hear the Ten Commandments in the old King James Version or in Brutonese, as Beverly just did it. But there is just something about hearing the Ten Commandments from the King James Version that just sounds more magnanimous, more high-minded, more attention-grabbing, more serious. And face it, that's probably how all of us first heard the Ten Commandments, God's law. Now, many scholars take the view that the Ten Commandments are the true purpose of religion, all religions, not just Christianity. When people are honest, peaceful, law-abiding, a society can flourish. And so it makes sense that the Ten Commandments are undoubtedly one of the first things that we learn in Sunday school, right? Although I'm not sure how many of us could recite them without having to think about it really, really hard. The Ten Commandments are a call to faithfulness. It's not an indication of how society is. That's why they're called commandments, not observations. But admit it. When you first hear the Ten Commandments, there's sometimes just a little bit of a negative connotation. For some of us, that's because we feel negatively about any rules. They cramp our style. Some of us feel negatively about the commandments because they just sound so negative. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, over and over and over again. For some of us, the commandments seem like arbitrary rules, like a dress code or a speed limit, limitations on what we really want to do. And face it, there could be a lot of negativity when it comes to the commandments because they have been politicized and even weaponized by so many who claim possession of right thinking and right believing. But the truth is, some of us probably feel negatively about the commandments because we break them so often. And we don't like to be reminded of that. And the greater truth is that if we view our relationship with God simply in terms of rules and regulations, we are missing the greater point. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it as long as I stand in this pulpit. The Bible is not a rule book. The Bible is a love story. It is an epic story about generations of a family. In it includes the testing of loyalties. There's bitter sibling rivalry. There's betrayal. There's war. There's anger. There's greed. There's history. There's adventure, despair, hope, joy, passion, romance, sacrifice, forgiveness, resurrection, redemption, and the pains of starting over and the freedom of a new life. It's the love story of God relentlessly seeking us out for no other reason than the sheer love of us. It's a collection of shared moments and stories and remembrances. It's a record of all the lost and seemingly forgotten bits, both good and bad, of lives shared. It's a story of God's faithfulness to us, his presence with us in good times and bad. And it's a still continuing thread of God's giving. God's giving presence, hope, peace, comfort, joy, faith, mercy, forgiveness, healing, grace, and blessing. It's the story of life. It's our story. It truly is the story of us. A love story as relevant, moving, and powerful today as it was thousands of years ago. That is, if we can just get past it being merely a book of rules. But here's the best part of the love story. Having exhausted every possible means by which to get that message through our thick skulls of getting us to understand this love story, God finally writes himself into the story, takes on flesh, comes in Jesus, lives among us, and tells us himself just truly what love is. And we must never mistake this story as a way to become holy, but rather the precious and life-giving story of holy coming to us. Now, I know this won't come as breaking news to any of you, but I am not perfect. But you aren't either. You're laughing too hard. And we never will be. Jesus wasn't blameless under the law because he rigidly adhered to its every letter. He was blameless because he adhered to the spirit of the law, to the spirit of love. Because whatever the topic may be, whatever the topic, if it's not about love, it's not about God. We listen to God's commands, and with God's help, we try to build our lives around them. And when we fail, we get up and try again, or at least we should. There's a prayer in the Rite One service asking that God would write these laws on our hearts. And may that be our prayer today as well. Not to make us feel miserable, guilty, or inadequate, but to remind us just how much we are loved here in God's vineyard, and to help us to love one another, to love ourselves, to love God, and in turn come to know just a little of God's love for us. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witnesses. Big stuff. Big important stuff. It's the law of God. But make no mistake about it. The law of God is not a destination where we know when we've arrived. And it's not where the story ends. Instead, it's where the greatest love story ever told actually begins. God love you. Amen. Please stand.